Psalm 41, verses 1 through 13. This is the reading of God's Word. A Psalm of David. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil against me. When will he die and his name perish? And when he comes to see me, he speaks falsehood. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. When he goes outside, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him, that when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. And amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you would bless all of us, pour out the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will hear your word, and not only hear but believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. And Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Psalm 41, the title tells us that this is Psalm of David, King David. And just like in Psalms 38, 39, 40, we all looked at that in previous weeks, David is experiencing great sufferings. Verse 3 says, the Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health. And his many enemies are persecuting him. Even his close friend has betrayed him. But again, David knows that all those sufferings that he's going through are due to his own sin. Verse 4, for I have sinned against you. David cries out to God to be gracious to him and lift him up. David ends the psalm with a praise of thanksgiving. Well, let's look at this psalm. Verse 1 through 3. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth, and do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed, and in his illness, you restore him to health. Well, this psalm starts just like the Psalm 1, if you remember. How blessed is he, or other translation has, blessed is the man. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. He who considers. meaning he who looks after, he who watches over, he who cares for, he who attends to the helpless, the poor and powerless, the weak and pitiful. He who considers the helpless, such a person is a blessed man, this psalm says. The Lord will deliver such a man in a day of trouble. God will save him. To consider the helpless is the will of God. He says it in so many places in the Bible. I will bring to you Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7 through 11. If there's a man, poor man, with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother. But you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. Beware that there is no base thought in your heart saying, the seventh year, the year of remission is near, and your eye is hostile toward your poor brother, and you give him nothing. Then he may cry to the Lord against you, and it will be a sin in you. You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your undertakings. For the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore I commend you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. And I could bring to you, not only from Old Testament, but New Testament, similar passages. Well, God will protect him who considers the helpless, our psalm says. And God will save his life and bless him in the land. God will not give him over to the will of his enemies. God will strengthen him and watch over him upon his sick bed. God will restore him to health and heal all his infirmities. Verses 4 through 10, as for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. 4 and 10, I'm not reading 4 through 10, 4 and 10. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. And verse 10 says, but you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. We see God's grace upon King David here. He says, I have sinned against you, and yet he cries out to God, be gracious to me and raise me up. This shows how blessed he is. And if you could do that even as you sin, and yet you are able to call upon God to be gracious to you because you understand the gospel, because you understand what Jesus Christ has done, then you are blessed. Just the fact that even though you know you are sinning, and yet you could cry out to God, this is blessing. Make me well, he says, that I may repay them. Without faith in Messiah, who would come at this time, you know, point of this time, this cry is completely useless. Sinners can cry out to God all they want, but why would God hear them? You know, I give example, you know, dog next neighbor's dog barks and barks, and well, you pay attention to that? It just annoys you. And sinner cry out to God. Do you think that's better than that barking? Why do you think that God needs to hear that? Well, only because of Jesus Christ. If Jesus never came and he never did anything that he did,
and there is no salvation, then God will never hear cries of sinners. He will just throw all of us into hell. That's it. But the reality of our salvation is that even though we deserve eternal hell, even though we sin, we are still able to cry out to God, and we have confidence that He will hear us. This is the blessing. This is what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And remember, though, we cannot apply these verses directly to us today. We need to receive it in Christ. Because it says, raise me up so I could repay them. No, we don't do that today. Because Jesus Christ has called us to love even our enemies. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cries out forgiveness today. But at His second coming, though, that blood will cry out revenge. Thus, verse 10 points to the reality of that day, His second coming. But until that day, we are to love our enemy. Verses 5 through 9, my enemies speak evil against me. When will he die and his name perish? And when he comes to see me, he speaks falsehood. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. Then when he goes outside, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him, that when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. David's enemies, they speak in malice. When will he die? They say. When will his name perish? But that is the reality that David's enemies will face at the end. Psalm 109 verse 13, let his posterity be cut off. In a following generation, let their name be blotted out. Again, that points to Jesus' second coming. You know, don't say this kind of stuff today just because you hate somebody out there. But he's talking about the enemies of God, people who do not trust in Jesus Christ. They will be judged. And that day, you could say this kind of stuff, but not until then. Today, you need to love that person and share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. David's enemy, they come to see David, and they speak empty words. The enemy pretends to care, but he lies. He pretends to be a friend, but he gathers gossip. That's why he came to see you in the first place, to see what goes on so that he collects gossips. And he says that when he goes out, he spreads everywhere. He tells it. He slanders David. And David's enemies desire miseries for him. They devise his hurt. They say he has some fatal disease. He will never get out of his bed. He will die. Even David's close friend who ate his bread, his intimate friend, a friend that David trusted, a friend that David fellowshiped over a meal together. Even that friend lifted up his heel against David. He betrayed David. David says it like this in Psalm 55, verse 12 to 14. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it.
If it's my enemy who persecute me, then I could bear it, David says. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man of my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walk in the house of God in the throne. You, my friend, has betrayed me. Verse 11 and 12. By this I know that you are pleased with me because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. By God's grace, David's enemies does not shout in triumph over him. God does not allow the desire of David's enemy come true. And when he sees that, by that, David knows that God is pleased with him. God sets David in his presence forever. God gives David the permanent access to his presence. Even though David is speaking of the reality that is in the future, he uses present tense in this psalm because he is so sure of it, so certain of it. And David ends this psalm with verse 13. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And the book, one of five books of Psalms, ends here. Now, then what is this psalm means to us? Well, how blessed is he who considers helpless. In terms of the New Testament, it is the same as Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We are saved by God's mercy. God is merciful toward us as he sees our misery and sin. And how do we know that God is merciful to us? How do you know if somebody is asking you, is God merciful to you? How do you know that he is? Well, that Matthew says that by you and I being merciful to other people. Are you merciful to others? Then that shows that God is merciful to you. Because without God's mercy, you are not able to be truly biblically merciful to other people. And remember, God is not merciful to us, not because we deserve his mercy. So don't even say to me, oh, well, he doesn't deserve my mercy. You did not deserve God's mercy. And yet God was merciful to you. And you are to be like God. Just like it. We must be merciful to other people. Not only to those who we believe to deserve our mercy, but we must be merciful even to our enemies. And as we have seen in every psalm that we have seen so far, this psalm is also a psalm of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Bible is all about. It's all about Jesus Christ. And if you cannot see Jesus Christ, you're not looking at the Bible in a correct way. He, Jesus, is the only one who truly considers the helpless. He saw our misery and sin, and he was merciful to us. And our Lord suffered so much, and he was betrayed even by his loving disciple. He was denied by his loving disciple. John 13, verse 18, I do not speak of all of you, Jesus says. I know the ones I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. John chapter 15 verse 21, when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he is speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And if we read Matthew 26, verse 21 through 24, as they were eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, surely not I, Lord. And he answered, he who dips his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And Jesus, as you know, was speaking of Judas Iscariot. Do you see it? Jesus fulfilled Psalm 41. Even as King David cries out to God and talking about a friend who betrayed him, but it is about Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus was suffered greatly and was persecuted so much, Jesus trusted his Father so faithfully. He entrusted all things to his Father. Father, do not let my enemy shout in triumph over me. Again, when you read those verses in Psalm 41, it is Jesus who is crying out to his own Father. This is the psalm of Jesus Christ. He sang this psalm. Do not give me over to the desire of my enemies. And God heard him. Jesus was resurrected from the dead after 3 days. And by Jesus' resurrection, we all know how the Father was pleased with Jesus Christ and what he has done. Just like David says, by it, I know that my Father, God, is pleased with me. And this is Jesus. His resurrection clearly shows how pleased the Father is with Jesus. Because if Jesus was a sinner, he would not have been resurrected. Which clearly shows that he was righteous. Clearly shows that God is pleased with him. The reality of the Father being so pleased with Jesus was witnessed already by his resurrection. But when all will be visible, when Jesus returns, that reality will be once again be witnessed for all of us to see. And because this psalm is a psalm of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is also our psalm. If it is not our psalm, then why we bother to even learn it? I mean, think about it. Whatever Jesus has done, and it's a beautiful, but it has nothing to do with you, then what's so important to you? And there are so many people out there, they read Psalm as if that it has nothing to do with the person who's reading. If this is not our psalm, then we don't have to bother to learn it. And this is always the case. We've been looking at this, right? When you read the Old Testament, first of all, it is about Christ. But because it is about Christ, it's also about us. We We are united to Jesus Christ, and we too go through many sufferings and persecutions because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And you tell me, oh, I don't suffer out there. Well, start witnessing that you are truly God's son. Saying things that Bible says, I'll guarantee you, you will be persecuted. It's when you don't speak out and you don't show that you're Christian, nobody cares then. But you say what Bible says, start doing it. People will start hating you, guaranteed. Our enemies lie about us. And when they come to see us, they speak falsehood. They speak empty words. They pretend to care. They gather gossips. So when they go out, they spread them everywhere. They desire evil against us. And just like many brothers in history, they were persecuted because their faith in Jesus Christ. When will he die? Even our friends, our relatives, our family will lift up their heels against us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Even the members of the same church, there are false Christians in the church, will lift up their heels against us. All you want to do is speak the truth, and you say the truth, and they start hating you. Because we're dealing with their sins. And they don't like it. You start speaking the truth. But the person who we trust, is our Lord Jesus Christ. I always tell you, don't trust anyone. Not even your pastor. I'm a sinner. But you trust Jesus Christ who is in me. You trust God who is working in me. I trust God who is working in you. And if it offends you, I'm sorry, but I don't trust you. But I trust God who is in you. He will finish his work in you. I trust him. So that one day you will be just like Christ in heaven. That I trust. But it's not about trusting one another. No. That's not what Christianity is all about. It's trusting Jesus Christ. And we entrust all things to him. He will not let our enemy shout in triumph over me. And you will see when Jesus returns, or when you die, when you arrive in heaven, you know that God did not let your enemy triumph over you. He will not give us over to the desire of our enemy. Yes, we have sinned against God, but God is merciful to us. He bore all our sins and died upon that cross for us. He also lived that perfect righteous life for us. And he has poured his grace upon us. He has healed our souls. He has raised us up. And God will have us judge this sinful world with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true judge. Our true enemy, Satan, will not triumph over us. Satan will be completely destroyed forever. Romans chapter 16 verse 28, God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. On that day when Jesus returns, we will all resurrect from the dead with the glorified bodies, and we will stand in that glorious place, our eternal home, heaven. And when we resurrect to that glorified body, standing next to Jesus, by that, we will know how pleased our Father God is with us. You could sing this psalm in Jesus Christ. These words are your words because of Jesus Christ. And you could say to one another, by me resurrecting from the dead, I know, forever I know, how pleased my Father is about me. Do you understand how this is your psalm? But only in Jesus Christ. Oh, God will uphold us in our integrity that day in Jesus Christ. He will set us in His presence forever. Colossians chapter 1 verse 22, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And you say, how? When I look at myself, there's no way I'm going to be blameless. But this is not about your determination and your work. It's about what Jesus will do, what He has already done, what He will accomplish, what He has already accomplished. We're talking about His work in you. Jude chapter 1 verse 24 and 25, now to Him, Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time and now and forever. Amen. But you don't have to wait until that day when you arrive in heaven to sing this psalm. In Jesus Christ, you could sing this psalm right now. Because our spiritual reality is that you and I, we are perfect in Christ. That we have already resurrected from the dead. Our spirits are resurrected already. And by that, you could be 100% sure that God is pleased with you, but only in Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, we've been going through 41 Psalms. Well, we didn't do everything, but I pray that you sing the Psalms. It's your Psalm. Every morning you get up and you could sing this Psalm. These glorious words, they are true of you because of what Jesus Christ has done. Only in Jesus Christ, of course. And when you realize the gospel, what do we do? Except we too will praise our God forever and ever. So we join the author of this psalm and we join our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. And Israel is not about ethnic Israel. Israel is about people who trust in Christ. That's what Paul says in Romans and Galatians. Blessed be the Lord, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. I pray, brothers and sisters, that God will bless us. That we will sing these psalms every day in our lives. And as we sing, realizing how blessed we are, all these things are true of us. This is what Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. So with that joy and thanksgiving, we praise. And nobody will stop us praising. Even death
Oh, please kill us, then we will praise perfectly in heaven.
But even until we die, we will praise. Nobody's going to tell us to stop worshiping God. We'd rather die. Nobody's going to tell us to stop praising Him. That's not life. True life is worshiping God. Because that's our heavenly, eternal life, which our Lord has already accomplished. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. With everything we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful life in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what hard times or sufferings that we might have to go through, we know we are blessed because we will stand next to our Lord Jesus Christ on that glorious day with our resurrected bodies. Completely and certainly knowing that You are pleased with us in Jesus Christ. And we will praise You forever and ever. And let us realize that life, glorious life has already begun in us. So let us praise You. Praise You until we see You face to face, and when we do see You face to face, we'll praise You with perfect praise. We thank You, God. We love You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.